You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Big thank you for the gift day. I've just been so amazed by the generosity of Jubilee and just been staggered by it. So thank you so much for that. The one-off gifts have mean that we met with the trustees last week, and we can press on with all the vision that we've sort of presented in January, which is just a joy for me to know that we can do that. And so we're pressing on with phase two of the building project, and I'm really excited about this. There's been some key meetings that have happened. There was a wonderful information evening about Growing Hope. There's been meetings with the council, all sorts of things going on, and I've just been so thrilled to be able to say that yes, we're going for this. And so thank you for that, and thank you for all the new givers, people who've started to giving, perhaps who are newer at Jubilee. We're so grateful for you standing with us. It's meant we've been able to put a budget together that's a sort of break-even budget for this next financial year, and we're so grateful for that. And we want to share all of this in a church meeting that we're going to have, but because of the building and just some of the work that we need to do in preparation for that, we're going to make it a little bit later than we normally do. So it's going to be on the 1st of June where we can unpack that in a bit more detail. But do keep praying for the trustees, particularly for Ian and Neil, who are working on the whole building side of things. I'm just so grateful and so thankful for you all. So why don't you give yourselves a clap? This is the last Sunday before I start my sabbatical. Oh, I'm glad one of you is going to miss me. To be honest, the last couple of weeks, I actually have been really missing you. It's weird, isn't it? You miss people before you even have gone. But I have been had that sense of, wow, I don't remember this happening in the last couple of sabbaticals I've had. But I thought, I'm going to actually miss everybody this sabbatical. But I'm going to be gone for 12 weeks, but if you see me around town, please say hello. Don't, like, cross over the road and think, oh, I can't talk to him. Or if I'm in Sainsbury's, you know, let's have a chat rather than just avoiding me. I would hate that. And just to be clear as well, Heidi isn't on sabbatical, so you'll see her all the time. There are some Sundays where I'm visiting particular churches and meeting with leaders where I want to sort of, I really value Heidi's sort of input into that as well. So I'm going to grab just a couple of Sundays over this 12-week period to be able to join me on some of the visits, because I think that's going to be helpful for us and helpful for Jubilee. But she'll be around and resisting telling me what's happening in Jubilee over dinner. So that is the plan. So do pray for her, because it's a difficult sort of negotiating that, so please do pray for her whilst I'm on my sabbatical as well. And as I said, there's three aims that I've got. One is to sort of review my 40 years of ministry. I've done sort of 40 years now of ministry, and I know you say he can't have done 40 years of ministry because he only looks 40, but I started young, and I only feel 40, so we've sent my birth certificate off to be checked, because there might be some clerical error we've missed, and so it might turn out that I am 40. But anyway, but probably not. But I want to review. I've been so blessed by God to have been able to see different access different sort of things over these 40 years when I was at Waverley with Selwyn Hughes at different contexts, and I want to sort of review that, really. And some of the stuff is from the past, of the past, and still would be in the past. But some of it, I think, is going to be in the next decade as well. And so I just really want to revisit that. I want to visit other churches and learn from other leaders. I think there's lots going on in the church in the UK at the moment, and really want to be able to learn from others' mistakes, particularly, but others' joys as well. And so to visiting other churches, talking to other leaders is really helpful in doing that. I come here every week, and this is the church I know. It's good to be able to meet other churches and to get a bit of a feel of that. And then really to seek God for the next sort of decade of ministry. I really want to to make sure that God is leading us into that, and so really want to seek God for that. So to be able to spend some unhurried time in prayer, in the Word, in the presence of God is a real joy, and I'm just so grateful to the elders, the trustees, for Rick and the staff team who'll be holding the reins whilst I'm away, for allowing me to do this. I'm just really, don't take it for granted. I'm very grateful for everybody, and grateful for you as well, for enabling that to happen and releasing me to do that, and for your ongoing love and encouragement and support, because I love Jubilee. I love your passion for Jesus. I love your passion for the church, your willingness to give of yourself to the church, give yourself to the mission of building a God-honoring, diverse church of world-changing disciples in order to glorify God and make him known. And I suppose half of my 40 years ministry has been here, so I just love Jubilee. In the sabbatical, we'll be getting off the front line, but I do want to be praying for you, and I will be praying for you, because I feel God has got an awful lot for Jubilee in these next years to come. And when a pastor loves his church, not all of them do, pastors that is, I mean not as in Jubilee, just in case you think Rick's not here, what's happened, he's actually on holiday and he loves Jubilee as well. But some churches, pastors don't. But I just really love Jubilee, love you guys, and it's going to be hard actually not to be here. But what it means is, for us pastors who love churches, is that we want to pray for the church. And as we pray for you over this next few weeks, I just really I want God's best for you in this next 12 weeks, and believe everything's going to carry on well with Rick and the team. But I just feel I want to be praying for you. And because I had that real passion to pray for you, I just felt drawn to the book of Ephesians, to bring a word from the book of Ephesians. In fact, I just read the whole book of Ephesians this week, and it is such a good book. We've done a whole series on it in the past, but I'd encourage you just to read the book, the whole book, in one go, because it is a joy how it unfolds. And actually, on Tuesday, I thought, I'm not going to preach a sermon. I'm just going to read the book of Ephesians, because it's so good and it would be such a blessing to you. But then I thought, oh, no, I won't read the whole of Ephesians. I want to read a part of it. So I'm going to read verses 3 to 4. I was going to get you to read it, but I'm actually going to read it, because you weren't unified in the last bit of reading. I've also got to look at it on my phone, because I'm actually missing the page in my Bible. It must have fallen out. So I love Ephesians so much over the years. So let me just get the right version here. So if you've got your, if you've got it from chapter 3, verse 14, I'm going to read. Right. There we are. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. as a prisoner for the Lord, I'm just reading on a little bit more, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. Lord, may these verses speak into our souls today. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just a joy? Isn't that just a wonderful passage to meditate on, to think about, to read? And I want to encourage you to do that over this week and over these 12 weeks, really, because my prayer is that while I'm away, that you'll be strengthened, rooted, and united. And I couldn't have picked better songs, Catherine, than you've picked up to now. It's like you've written, you know, it's like my sermon. Because life isn't always easy, is it? Life can drain us. The world can drain us. The world can make us a bit fed up at times. The pressures of work or family or finances or personal struggles can leave us feeling weak and weary. And I know from talking to you, many of you are in that place. It can be hard. But there's good news as we reflect on these verses. Just as Nathan was saying with his glass, we can plummet these verses for food for our souls. There's good news because God never intended for us to live just in our own strength, just trying to sort things out ourselves. He wants to empower us by his Spirit, by his love, by purpose. And he wants us to grow, be transformed, to know that we're loved, just to know how much we're loved, and to grow strong in faith and purpose as a church. That's his wish for us, his desire for us, if we are willing to open ourselves to that. And that's my prayer for you as I leave, that we are strengthened, rooted, and united over these next 12 weeks. The Apostle Paul was in prison and he was writing to this church. He was away from this church and it's just a joy. You read those first chapters. He's wanting this church to know the glory of the gospel that we've become part of. You just read it. I read it in the message this week and it just comes alive afresh. It's wonderful passages. And he was wanting that church that he was away from to continue to be strengthened, continue to be rooted in his love, and in Jesus' love, and to be united in purpose. And that's my prayer over these next 12 weeks. So let's just unpack it quickly together. He wants us to be strengthened by his Spirit. Paul starts by praying for the believers in Ephesus. He says this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Just let that sink in a little bit. Notice that Paul isn't praying for external blessings. I do pray for external blessings for a lot of you as well. I'm praying for a lot of you to make loads of money, actually, for the kingdom. I want God to bless us as a church because I think he's got lots for us to do. Externals blessings are good. But what Paul is praying for is for like an inner strength, an inner blessing. And that is way more powerful for us, way more important for us. Because transformation happens from the inside out, doesn't it? We can't do it from the outside in. I can't transform people. Rick can't transform people from the outside. But there's one who can transform us from the inside out, who delights doing that. And we're all work in progress, aren't we, with that? The world tells us to rely on our own strength, to try harder, to be more disciplined, to push through. But God says, let's partner. Partner with me. Let my spirit strengthen you. I mean, that is a big thing to say, isn't it? So how does that happen? How are we strengthened by the very Spirit of God? Well, it happens by spending time with God, believe it or not, in his presence. It's why I get along on Wednesday night, just to be in God's presence in worship. It's why those in-between sessions of prayer and worship are so important, alongside the Practicing the Way program. Just unhurried time to be in God's presence does something to our souls. Use the next Practicing the Way module on fasting. I know it's one that a bit of me was relieved I wasn't going to be doing, and then I felt convicted. So I thought, actually, I need to do that as well. I'm going to do it at home, on my own. But do you know what? Actually, it is about coming into the presence of God. And when we look at solitude after Easter, it's another one that is going to be one where we meet the presence of God. And so I really encourage you to spend time in God's presence. Spend time filling your mind with God's word. That's how we come to be strengthened by his Spirit. The issue isn't the availability of the word in this country. There are literally hundreds of apps and programs and ways that you can access the Bible. The question is whether we're prepared to avail ourselves to it. It's not the availability of the word. It's a choice about whether we will give ourselves to reading the word. And I make excuses all the time. But do you know what? As we fill ourselves with the Word of God, something happens. The Spirit takes hold of it. God speaks to us through the Word of God. And so I'm praying for personal, fresh hunger for the Word of God whilst I'm away. I want to be plummeting it for all it's got for me. But I'm going to be praying also that we all have a fresh hunger for the Word of God. Because some of us are just relying on things we've read from years ago, bits of the scriptures that we've read from years ago. And God's got new, fresh, delicious bread for some of you for now. And I want to encourage that, because we fill our minds with what is true then, as opposed to what is false. I know the world is getting a bit confused about whether there is true and false these days. But there is. And we want to be rooted in and fill ourselves with actual truth. It will help us. Thirdly, how can we be strengthened by His Spirit? It's partly by surrendering to the Spirit. Pete Greggs used the word yield. I think it's a lovely word. Yield to the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit, but let him do his glorious, transformative work in you and in me. And I'm praying it. He leads me in these next 12 weeks. I pray he also leads all of us, and that we yield to the Spirit. That we say, yeah, I want to be transformed. That's part of allowing the Spirit to transform us. And when we do this, God's power becomes real, I think, in our lives. And Christ dwells in our hearts, it says in verse 17, through faith. But we also find that his yoke is easy. He wants to walk alongside us. And he says, my yoke is easy. If you're weary, come to me. That's the Saviour we've got. So when we know the strength in the Spirit, we don't just survive then. We begin to thrive. And that's my prayer whilst I'm away. Secondly, we need to be rooted in his love. Paul continues, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in my love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Imagine a tree. If its roots are deep, it can stand against a storm, can't it? If it's got fiddly little rubbish roots, the storm comes and the tree is affected. The same's true for us. When we're rooted deeply in the love of God, actually nothing can shake us then. It doesn't matter what other people say, what other people do. We don't have to match up to other people because I know that I am loved. And that is such a powerful, powerful thing for us to know. When we're deeply rooted in that, failure, rejection, hardship actually don't shake us in the way they can if we're not deeply rooted in the love of God. And some of us can so easily slip into that, I've got to earn God's love. I've just got to be good enough for God to love me. I've got to be, you know, a real saint, or I've got to do all these things and then God will love me. But we, you know, for years we've gone on about the grace of God, haven't we? That we can't do that. God doesn't love us any more or any less by what we do. He just loves us. There's nothing you can do that make God love you less or love you more. He just loves you. And that's something to sink our roots into. It's something that is powerful. It does something in our souls. And I'm wanting to know more of the love of God whilst I'm on retreat and in studying. Because the more I know that, the more rooted I am. But I'm praying that for you as well, that you know that love of God in a deeper, fresher way. And know that it's a gift, not something to be earned. It's a gift of God that he wants to freely give us. Someone said it's wider than your biggest failure, deeper than your worst pain, higher than your greatest dream. You're fully loved right now, Jubilee. Even those who've got that little voice saying, everybody else is apart from me. Those who've just caught themselves saying that, that little voice is wrong. Because God so utterly loves you. He so utterly is for you. And I want you to know that. And I want us to take that in afresh so that we're rooted in his love. God loves me and I'm so grateful for that. But I want to know it more. I want us to all to have a fresh wave of the love of God. Because when we live in that love, we become unshakable. We've got like feet on rock in the storm, to change the analogy. That's the promise of Jesus. And that's what I want to be praying for whilst I'm away. Finally, united in purpose. Paul shifts from talking about inner strength and to our calling as a church. Well, I've just suddenly got distracted by a ping on my phone. That's bad, isn't it? It is. My daughter-in-law is about to have a baby, so I suddenly thought, is she having a baby? But I don't know, because it doesn't say. It just says that Phoebe's text me. Now Hayley's really distracted. Anyway, sorry, I should have turned that off. Should have turned notifications off. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay.
She just wanted to know what's the Sunday lunch.
Something. It reminds me that when I first got a mobile phone, and I went on a seminar tour with Selwyn, and I was in Singapore, first time I ever standed up in front of lots of people, and I had my mobile phone in my pocket, and I gave an announcement for people to turn off their phones. And I had a lapel mic on, and then suddenly my phone rang. And through the PA, it was the loudest thing ever. And if I'm really honest, I did a little fib. I said, you know, that was just a visual, you know, example of how to not do it. But anyway, I was mortified. Sorry about that. Confessing my sins publicly. Anyway, I was young. Thirdly, be united in his purpose. Paul shifts from talking about inner strength to our calling. And I wanted to sort of carry on into this little bit of the verse. He says this, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. See, God doesn't just strengthen us for ourselves. He strengthens us so that we can serve together. Now, there's a thought, isn't it? Strong, healthy churches are made of, rooted, united believers. Being united is a powerful thing, especially in this polarized cultural moment that we live in. I was so saddened this week. Rick Warren had put out a tweet encouraging followers of Jesus not to land on the political left or the political right, but to center on Jesus. But he has received such hatred from fellow believers in America. I cannot believe the hatred he's experienced. In the US particularly, the polarization of the political left and right, I think it poisoned the church, that would be my view. And results in many living in ways that are unworthy, I think, of being called Christians now, I would say. But we're called to live a life worthy. A life worthy to be called Christian. To be called little Christs. That's a challenge, isn't it? And we're called to make every effort in it. We need to make every effort to keep united. That's why I invest a lot of time in trying to bring churches together in Farnham. That's why I'm so proud of Andy and Rebecca and Ben and the people who do. There's Ben and Rebecca there. I thought she was here. Who are trustees of FCCT that's becoming Farnham Church's support. And this next year is actually a really key year for churches in Farnham coming together. There's some amazing things going to be happening, and it is a key year in our journey. And I believe if we can pull off a unity in this town, I've got faith that the blessing of God is going to come. I even pray for revival would come. Lord, if we can just get our act together, stop bickering and stop arguing, but starting to unite around Jesus, the Spirit will come. And you know what? As we're united as Jubilee, the Spirit of God will come on us. Because he can't resist coming on a united people. That's why we think relationships in Jubilee are so important. It's why when we fall out, because we do fall out, we want to fall out well rather than badly. We don't want to just have things not dealt with. We want to be united. We're wanting to have these verses alive within us, that we make every effort to do that. And Paul's writing in prison, away from his flock, but I think I want to pray that we remain united. So when I come back, I don't want to hear of any bickering, any fallouts, or if you have bickered and fallen out, that you've dealt with it. And that you've lived a life worthy of the calling that you've professed. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Thank you. So how do we keep united? Just a couple of thoughts. We walk in humility, verse 2, and love. I'd love to write a book on humility, a confident humility. We'll see whether that happens over these 12 weeks. But I might have got the title by the end of 12 weeks. I don't know. Pray for me. But we're also united by using our gifts in our service. If you look at verse 11 and 12, it points to apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip his people God gives a diversity of gifts. I want to look at those over my sabbatical, because I think we've lost something of that, and we want to regain some of that, I think. But God uses our gifts in all sorts of ways to serve. We still have some gaps in the setup team. Just mentioning. PA team. Ian's nodding. The message puts it like this. I don't want any of you sitting on your hands. I want everyone, don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And Mark, that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Just love that. So we stay united with a humility and a love, a confident humility, but we stay united as we start doing stuff together, as we serve one another. And we stay united by growing together in spiritual maturity. Verse 13 and 15 says, until we all reach unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I really don't want us to lose momentum in the Practicing the Way program. I don't want us to have started well and then peter out. When I come back, I want Rick to be saying to me, Sean, we've got problems. There's so many people wanting to do these jolly modules. I don't know how we're going to do it. That's what I want him to say to me. I don't want us to lose that, because that's how we grow spiritually. And that's what these verses are encouraging us to do. Until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceptive scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that wonderful? God's goal isn't just individual growth. His goal amongst us is for a healthy, mature church that reflects Jesus to the world. Amen? We're not meant to do life alone. We need each other. That's what these verses are saying. And as we come together around these spiritual disciplines, a spiritual maturity can grow in us. And I believe we need a spiritual maturity in these next months and years. So to sum up, Paul's prayer to the Ephesians reminds us that God strengthens us by His Spirit, so we don't have to rely just on our own strength. He roots us in His love so that we can stand firm in any storm. And He calls us to a unity that is distinct so that we can grow strong together. And that's my prayer, that while I'm away, we're strengthened, rooted, and united. Amen? Amen. Are you up for that? Because that is your homework for the next 12 weeks. So are you feeling pressure or weak? I tell you what, God is here to strengthen you. If you're struggling with fear or insecurities, fear of others, living up to what others feel we should be living up to, sink your roots deep in His love. If you're feeling disconnected from your church family, get into serving somehow. Get along to the Practicing the Way modules. Step into God's purpose. He doesn't want us just to survive. He wants us to thrive in this next 12 weeks. So I want to come back to an even more thriving church as I come back, because God has got more for you and for me than we can ever imagine. Now, I have got a really good imagination. Sometimes my imagination is like unrelated to reality. Hayley will tell me. I can dream. And I've got dreams. But you know what? Even my dreams aren't what his dreams are for us. Message puts it like this: God can do anything, you know. Far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Crumbs. Just take that in. God can do anything. I mean, he did create the world. Far more than you can imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And this is lovely. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. Isn't that beautiful? His spirit deeply and gently within us. Isn't that wonderful? Then it goes on. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Right to the front row. To the rooms that we've got kids in. To illuminate. Glory through the millennia. Oh yes. I tell you what, God's got some amazing things for Jubilee to be and do that we're just entering into. I don't think I've felt as excited or poised as I do at the minute about what God's got for us. Every time I pray for Jubilee, I just sense God's blessing is coming. And I ask him, what is that? And he just says, my blessing's coming. And I say, well, what sort of blessing then? And he says, my blessing's coming. And I say, what do I have to do then? And he says, my blessing's coming. And that's why we need to be strengthened, rooted, and united. It's why I need to go and get ready for the next few weeks. Because he's got some amazing things for us to do. Amen? Let me pray, and then we're going to break bread together. Father, thank you for your spirit that strengthens us. Thank you for your love that grounds us. Thank you for your purpose that unites us. Help us, Lord, to grow deeper, stand stronger, and walk into the calling you have for each one of us. And for us together. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to break bread now and then worship some more. And I just want to read this from the beginning of the book of Ephesians. So, Catherine, you might want to come up. As we come to this table, this is how Paul starts the book of Ephesians in the message. Just let me read this. How blessed is God, and what a blessing is he. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. And settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. And because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. His body that was broken for us. We are free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free people either, we're abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything that we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven and deep everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose of his working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed, this is the message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment of what is coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. I'm going to carry on because this is so good. That's why when I heard of your solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you every time I prayed. I think of you and give thanks. That's what I do. But I do more than thank. I ask that the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the glory of God, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life he has for his believed followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust in him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ who God raised him from the dead. That's what we're celebrating as we break bread. And set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church, Jubilee, is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. You can see why I wanted to read the whole of Ephesians, couldn't you? That's just the first chapter. Let's stand. We're going to worship. I want you to encourage you to come with joy to, and in the good of all that I've said, as we break bread. And it might be a simple prayer as you're just walking up here to ask the Spirit to strengthen you. Ask for you to know more of God's love that you can be rooted in. Or for God to speak to you about what purpose he's calling you to in these next few weeks. Amen? So let's enjoy breaking bread this morning. Let's come in the good of the truth that we've heard in the book of Ephesians. And let's enjoy being together and unified around the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Catherine.
Blessed are those who run to him.